بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك ورحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. We studied the first part of lesson 18 on predestination and freedom, jab and ikhtiyar. As you remember, we discussed how different theologians try to put two things together. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's role in everything that happens in this world, that is unity of God with respect to actions. On the other hand, human free will and divine justice. These two are to be kept, but some people sacrificed one for the sake of the other. Ash'arites were very careful about saying that Allah has a role in everything, everything is an action of God. Salaam alaikum. But then they didn't manage to do justice to free will and freedom of human beings and also divine justice. The Mu'tazilites try to say that human beings are free in their actions, and this is why Allah can bring us to the justice and, you know, reward or punish and so on and so forth. But unfortunately, by the idea of tafwid or delegation of all the power, everything, to human beings in voluntary actions, they restricted Allah's power and role. So we discussed these things, alhamdulillah, in previous session. So now we want to explain further the idea of human free will and the middle position which we accept, which is to stress, to emphasize on Allah's role in everything, in every action, but at the same time to say that we have a very important role to play through our freedom when it comes to our voluntary actions. So this is what we want, inshallah, to continue. Ayatollah Misbah says that our ability, our power to choose, to make a choice between two or more options is something obvious, is self-evident. You know, we are always thinking and choosing. Even right now, it may come to your mind, for example, to go somewhere. You think, shall I go or shall I stay here? Or, for example, shall I take note or I shouldn't take note? Shall I, for example, look at the teacher or look, for example, at my notebook or look, for example, at my friend? So always many things come to your mind and you are constantly making decisions. And every one of us feels that he or she has control over his or her decision. When I, for example, right now, I'm speaking to you. I can stop.
Yeah.
I can continue, I can stop. So I have choice, yeah? I am not like a person who has, for example, been thrown from top of a building and now in the sky when he is coming, you know, to the ground, he has no control. He is understanding that he's dropping, but he cannot do anything. We understand what we are doing, but we have control. We are not just dropping without control. Okay? You know this famous poem Maulavi said, Rumi, you know Maulavi. In ke gu'i, in konam, ya an konam, khod dalil ikhtiyar ast, ay sanam. When you tell yourself, shall I do this or that? This shows that there is free will. Sometimes, even you cannot make up your mind. You remain undecided. This shows that it's up to us. Sometimes it takes you several days, several months to make a decision. Okay? So it shows that we have this ability. So it's not very difficult to understand that we have free will. What is causing confusion is that sometimes people have questions about free will, and because they are not able to find an answer, then they think there is no free will. Okay? So the first assumption is we have free will, but sometimes people have questions and they cannot find answers, so they think there is no free will. For example, some people think that we have no free will because our decisions are dictated by our desires. We have desires, we have inclinations, and only we go after them. For example, you know, when we become hungry, when we become very thirsty, so we go after food. You know, if you are at home, sometimes you don't, you know, notice why you have gone to the fridge. You didn't really think about it and make a decision. But you find that you are opening the fridge and you are taking something. Sometimes you don't notice. And this is how you increase your weight, you know. You don't notice, you know, just go and, you know, eat and eat. It's not there is a very conscious process of decision. So you go after your desires. But the answer is, it is true that our desires push us and, you know, motivate us. But we are, in the end of the day, making the decision. Yes, maybe that decision is made very quickly. Maybe it's made very implicitly, unconsciously. But I am making decision. Sometimes, you know, for example, there are actions that we do it very, you know, kind of not seriously, you know, very easily we do some action, but still there is a process of decision making. For example, sometimes we play with our fingers, sometimes we play with our rings, and we think these are things that we do without any decision. Sometimes, you know, we play with our tasbih, for example. It's not that we are doing zikr, we are playing with tasbih. But even in all these things, if you look carefully, there is a process of the action coming to our mind. We think about it and we decide to do it. But because we are used to doing this and it's a habit, it goes very fast. It goes so fast that as if you haven't thought about it, as if you have not made any decision, but indeed a very quick decision, salam alaikum, has been made. So when it comes to our response to the desires that we have, it's the same. Sometimes the response can come very quick and fast, but still you have control. You can resist against your desire. You can say, okay, although I am hungry, I am thirsty, I don't want to go to fridge. I don't want to eat anything. I don't want to drink anything. You can do that. Even you can take a cup of water in your hand and at the very last moment say, I don't want to drink. Put it back. So it's possible. Another question that some people have is that they say we are very much influenced by our environment. We are not really free. Parents have great role. For example, they say, look, the people who have good parents become good. The people, you know, whose parents are careless, negligent, you know, then they have problems. The people that parents are very educated, you know, the children also become educated. Or for example, if you have a child who plays with bad children, you know, has bad friends, then gradually the child becomes like the bad people. If you have a child who is always with the gangsters, then becomes like them. If someone is with the drug dealers and, I don't know, addicted people, becomes like them. So they say, we don't have free will. We are influenced by the society, by the environment. Or for example, you know, when a child is exposed to bad movies, bad films, you know, programs, you know, on TV or cinemas or, you know, internet, the child is affected. So it's not free. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes they say that food has very important role in deciding what type of personality you want to become. Some foods make you very, for example, nervous. You wonder why I have become so nervous, but it's food. Or some food may make you very relaxed, okay? Or for example, you know, some food may increase your, you know, activity. Some food may make you very, you know, passive person. Or, you know, some physical situation of body and hormones, all these things can have impact. If you go to for example, a country in the middle of the day and it's very hot, and look at the way people drive, and, you know, especially when there is, for example, traffic, see, people seem very nervous, you know, very angry, you know, they are ready to fight. Yeah, but if you look at another country, the weather is very cold, you know, and, you know, people are not under the pressure. You see, everyone is in a very well-behaved. So they say this is the role of temperature. Temperature can make people very nervous and very, you know, angry. So the answer is that it is true that food, hormones, environment, friends, parents, a schooling have great role. No one can deny these roles. And this is why in our upbringing of children, of students, even for ourselves, we have to be very careful about our friends, about our food, about our environment, about our associates. We have to be very careful because these have role. But none of these things have decisive role. It's not that they replace our free will. You can have a very good person in a very bad environment. And you can have a very bad person in a very good environment. Yes, environment is important, but not to the extent that you say we have no free will. We are formed and shaped only by the environment. No, it's not like this. We can have son of Nuh. We can have wife of Pharaoh. Son of Nuh is bad person, so much so that Allah says, إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٌ. Allah says he's a vicious act, not only vicious person, vicious act. عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٌ. On the other hand, you have wife of Fir'aun that Allah says, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. Allah mentions her as an example for the believers. Wife of Fir'aun was living with Fir'aun in the palace of Fir'aun, perhaps eating the same food, meeting the same people, okay? But she was not affected. Son of Nuh was eating the same food of his father, perhaps, looking at his father, but was not affected. So this shows that human beings have a very important role to play. Although maybe there are factors that want to limit your freedom, but still you have the final say. Sometimes two brothers, two sisters from the same family are totally different. One of them is very good, one of them is bad. One of them is very selfish, one of them is very kind. Even parents don't know what has happened, why these two are different. So, there is a role for environment, there is a role for food, there is a role for friend, there is a role for family, for schooling, which is very important. But at the end, it's the person who decides. Even a person who has had very bad history can all of a sudden decide to become a good person. If you have a bad habit, right now you can decide and say, I want to stop. Who is going to stop you? No one can stop you. And it is very interesting that although we are weak, we human beings are very weak. We can, you know, be killed easily. We can be put in prison. We can be injured. We can be attacked. We can be beaten. Yeah? People can try to confuse us, to misguide us. We are very vulnerable. But Allah has given us such power that if all people of the world work together to take away from us our Iman, our piety, our akhlaq, they cannot. They can kill us, but it's you who has control over his faith, over his piety. They cannot force you to be a bad person. The maximum is they kill you, the maximum is they torture you, but still you have control. So what makes a person a good person or bad person is under his or her control. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us this independence, this power, that no one can get into the command room. You know, we have a command room like armies. There's a command room, which is very important, because if enemies get into the command room and take control of command room, then the country collapses. No one has access to our command room. Even we said about Shaitan. Shaitan has no access to our command room. It's only you. No one. But whether you want to open your command room to enemies to come and take control, then that's another issue. But you can keep it very secure. And no one can hack into your command room if you want. It's very secure. So this is our response about the role of external factors. Another question that some people have is, Allah's knowledge, they have difficulty with understanding how we are free, and at the same time, Allah knows our decisions. They think that if Allah knows my decision, so I have to make a decision in the way that He knows. For example, Allah knew that we are coming tonight here. So these people say this means that we were not free not to come, because He knew that we are coming. And if we wanted not to come, then His knowledge was wrong. We had to come. Okay? And the answer is, Allah knew we are coming, but if you analyze it more, He knew that we are deciding to come, and then we come. In other words, His knowledge depends on our decision. We were able to decide differently, and then that would be known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So His knowledge is based on our decision. If I decide to go, He knows that I am going. If I decide not to go, He knows that I'm not going. So it's not that He first decides in His knowledge and then I decide. In His knowledge, He follows what is known. Because knowledge is always logically after what is known. If I know that tomorrow sun will rise from east, do you know that or you don't know? You know, tomorrow sun will rise from the east. Okay, are you forcing sun to rise from the east because you know this? No. You know that, for example, in maybe half an hour, people in Eastern Asia go to school. Yeah, because of time difference, in half an hour they go to school, we know that. But are they going to a school because of our knowledge? So that we are forcing them? No. Our knowledge depends on their performance. Knowledge, logically, is always coming after what is known. Even if in timing comes before. So there are two things. You can know something in advance, but your knowledge is not fixing that. Your knowledge comes logically after, although in time may come before. Why I know people will go in half an hour to school in Japan, for example? Because they go to a school in half an hour, then I know. Yeah, it's not that because I know they go. Yeah, even if I'm not here, if I don't know, they still they go. My knowledge is not affecting them. So my knowledge is based on their performance. So it is because of their performance that I have this knowledge. If they make, you know, another decision, then I have to change my idea. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our action. He knows what we decide to do. And because He knows what we decide to do, His knowledge is based on our decision. You can decide another way, then Allah knows that new decision. The only thing is, you may wonder, how it comes that Allah knows in advance? How He knows in advance? The answer is that even you human beings, with all the limits that you have, you know many things in advance. As I said, I know that tomorrow sun rises from the east. I know that in half an hour people go in school, to school. We sometimes, you know, have forecast for weather. There are many things that if you know the system, you can know what is going to happen. I know that, for example, in 3 hours, no one is here. Okay? So, is it because I know no one is here? Or it's because no one is here, I know this? So, we can know things in advance. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's much, much easier. Why? Because for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, past, present, future are the same. It's for us that we think about future and we can predict, we can forecast, for example, whether these things, you know, for future. But Allah doesn't need to even predict. For Him, past, present, future is the same. Okay? It's us that we have, you know, limits of knowledge. So, Allah's knowledge does not force us. Allah's knowledge belongs to our action and part of our cause for voluntary action is our own choice. So His knowledge belongs to our choice as well. He knows what I am going to do voluntarily. He's going where I am going to do voluntarily, freely. So there is no force coming from His knowledge. One point also in the middle of this lesson, lesson 18 is mentioned in the book, is I think it's important, is sometimes when we make decisions, we don't feel that much of conflict inside us. I can put it in this way. Sometimes there is not that much conflict. You desire something and you do it. For example, you are hungry and you go and eat food. Sometimes there is a conflict. For example, you are very tired, so you want to sleep. But at the same time, you have some assignments. And you want to do your assignments. Yeah? So here, there is a conflict. The desire for rest, the desire for learning and good performance, punctuality. You see the conflict here. Or, for example, sometimes there is a medicine which is bitter. You don't like it. But on the other hand, you know that this is good for your health. There's a conflict here. Or, for example, there is a soldier. The book mentions, for example, a soldier who loves his life. He's very young. Maybe just married, for example, or has, you know, young children, or maybe just married. As a young person, he loves, you know, his life, his family. But his country is in need of defense. So inside, there's a conflict. You know, there's an example of a young person asking Sartre in France whether I should stay with my mother or I should join resistance forces when France was occupied. And Sartre, you know, because he was existentialist, he was against giving general rules. So his idea is that when you are faced with this challenge, just try to be honest to yourself and see what is the best decision which comes to your heart. He was against giving any rule, any guideline, and then two people can decide differently. Anyway, but this is a conflict. You have a mother to look after. You have your country, which is occupied. What do you want to do? Okay? Ayatollah Mesbah says, actually, these are the cases in which the value of free will becomes more obvious. It's very difficult to choose here, but it's more valuable. Because when there is no conflict of desires, no conflict of interest, things can go very smoothly and quickly. I am hungry, there is no problem, I eat. But to resist against some of your desires for the sake of other desires, that is something that is more difficult, but also it can be more valuable choices that you make, because you are doing them despite some of your natural desires. You are doing this with more understanding. You know, when there are differences of interests and desires, then you become more alert. Sometimes we make decisions, even we don't notice that we are making decisions. Many times, you know, we make decisions and we don't realize. For example, I don't know why I don't like to speak with someone. Someone, for example, it comes to our mosque or, you know, I don't know, to our place. Unknowingly, I have made a decision not to speak with this person. I don't want to know this person. Many times we do such choices and make such choices and decisions unknowingly. So it's very important that you make your choices consciously, knowingly. You need, if you can, you know, increase your alertness and make all your choices with attention, then you are really a rational person. Many of us, unfortunately, we make lots of choices without even noticing. Have you really thought, for example, why you have this type of dress, for example, why you have this type of, I don't know, setting of your rooms, why you have chosen this type of friends, why you have chosen, I don't know, this subject for a study? Sometimes, if we look carefully, many of these decisions we have made without carefully assessing all different options and, you know, making a very responsible choice. Anyway, it's important to be very alert when we make choices. The next lesson is qada and qadar. Very sweet subject. Pardon? Qaza wa qadar. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Oh, sorry.